If you got your Bibles, turn to 2 Chronicles, the 7th chapter. Now, this is after 1 and 2 Kings. The next book is Chronicles. So you want to go to 2 Chronicles, the 7th chapter is where we'll be this morning with the help of the Lord. We want to try to honor Him and give His word this morning to the people. I'm going to try to preach a message with the help of the Lord and His guidance, unless He just changes my mind in the next 30 or 40 seconds. I'm going to try to follow Him and what He's given me this week for you all. I have prayed about this message, and this message has been on my heart for a long, long time, and God has never given me the opportunity to preach it. And I hope this morning we can be a blessing to you. If you've got your place, let's stand to our feet for the reading of God's Word this morning. You probably hear this scripture quoted a lot, and it's a very true scripture, and I want to quote it this morning and read it to you and hope that it'll help you here in 2 Chronicles, the 7th chapter and the 14th verse. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then, I underlined that in my Bible, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and will heal their lands. He's not talking to lost people here. He is talking to His people here. Let's read it again. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble, notice that word, themselves, and pray, notice that word, and seek, notice that word, my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then, notice there's a word there that all this hinges upon. Then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and will heal their lands. Let us pray. Father, as we come to you right now in Jesus' name, God, I can't preach this morning, but I know that you can. I pray, Lord, as I preach to your people, that you'll speak through these unlearned and stammering lips, God, that your word will be glorified this morning. God, how I love you, and I thank you for allowing me to stand behind this sacred desk and to brag on your lovely name. Because, Lord, I'm not worthy, we're not worthy to receive anything this morning, but I'm glad for your Son's blood that has made us worthy to receive your word. How precious, Lord, it is to our hearts to know and be able to study and read and learn of your word. God, may we learn from it today. And should there be anybody here under the sound of my voice, Lord, that's lost and undone, I pray this very morning, God, they'll come and they'll give their lives to you before it's eternally too late. And we'll love you and we'll praise you in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen. You could be seated. Here we see Solomon saying a prayer of blessing over the children of Israel and fulfilling the plan of God to build the temple that had been foretold to his father David, that his son would build this temple. Also, Solomon is offering sacrifices to God in prayer, and God is giving Solomon a great instruction about his house and about worship. Here in chapter 5 and chapter 6 and chapter 7 and right on, you can see how God is setting things up for the children of Israel, for a place to worship and a place to be honored to God and for God to set up His covenant with them and for them to come in to worship and for Him to have His hand up on the place that He has sanctified His house. And I'm telling you today, God has sanctified this house that we're in. We call them a church house now. And in the old times, they were called sanctuaries and temples and different things of that nature. But we have set up a house of God here on Stanley Valley. And God has put His hand upon this house. And God has sent the man of God to tell you there's an order in which we need to worship and a way that we need to honor His name and to love Him and to lift Him up. And there's certain things that we need to do in our lives to honor God. But I'm afraid as children of God, we've got lazy on the Lord and we've allowed things to creep into our lives and we've lost sight of where we're at as children of God. Now I'm going to tell you, I need your prayers this morning. If you're going to pray for the man of God, I need you to pray right now. I need you to pray that God will give me what He showed me this week for you. And I'm going to preach a title this morning on the three S's. That may sound peculiar to you, but I'm going to preach on the three S's this morning. You say, what's that got to do with a message? Well, you'll find out here in just a moment. This is going to be for the saved and the lost this morning. You're guilty or for it one way or the other. The first thing that you need to know as children of God is that we need to be saved. This morning we need to be saved. It ain't about just coming to church and wearing your best outfit and carrying a title, but I wonder if our name is written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. Now we can say that we're saved, and we may act like we're saved, but in our hearts we truly know we've been born again. To be saved means that we have been changed and we're no longer lost in the world and we have been renewed and we thank God for being renewed. The first thing I want to show you here in Romans 10, 9, 10, and 13. The Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Verse 10 says, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Now I want to slow down this morning and just try to explain this to you. You need to understand something. Verse 13, he says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall. It didn't say maybe, he said shall be saved. Now, the last time I checked about a whosoever, that covers everybody, is what the Scripture is teaching. And that's talking about everybody in here. If you have confessed with your mouth and believed in your heart that God has raised His Son from the dead, the Bible says you can be saved. Surely it's not that easy. Yes, it's that easy. I don't have to help you repeat a prayer. I don't have to try to show you need to work your way through it. You just need to come and believe that Jesus Christ is the Lord and the Savior of your life. He will forgive your sins and make you a new creature. You must be born again if you're going to see this place called heaven. Do you believe that this morning? Shake your head at me. Y'all know what amen means. Lord, let it be so. You can say amen this morning. Don't just look at me. You can say amen this morning. Ye must be born again if we're going to see this place called heaven. So there's the first S you need in your life. You need to be saved. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is what? A new creature. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. I've got a real problem with people that come to the altar and get born again. They say they get born again, and they go back out. I like what the preacher's been preaching this week. He's been using a phrase. I thought, I like that phrase. I'm going to use that. He's been talking about living like a junkyard dog. If you come down to an old-fashioned altar and you have confessed Christ and you claim to be born again, but you go back out into the world, I'm not talking about making a mistake. New converts, when they get saved, if they don't know how to walk with God, they're going to make mistakes. They're going to fall. They're going to trip. They're going to do things that's not pleasing right off the bat. Why? Because they don't know what to do. That's where you and I come in, the saved come in. We got to get those, and we got to love on those, and we got to show them the right way and teach them the right way so God can be honored with their life. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about those that have been guided and those that have been loved on, but they want to be out in the world. They want to do the drugs of the world. They want to drink the devil's brew. They want to talk the devil's talk, and they want to claim to be a child of God. I'm telling you this morning, you've never been born again if you live like that. You live like the devil, then you're of the devil. I'm telling you this morning, we need to be born again. We need to be saved. We need to know that we're saved. We know that we've passed from death unto life. Why? Because I love my brethren. That's what the Bible says. If there's love in your heart one for another, if you love your brother, there's a pure evidence that you're born again. How can I really know that I'm saved? Because you love the brother. That's how that you know. There's people that I used to not love when I was in the world. But when Christ came into my heart, He put a love in me that made me love other people and love those that done evil things against me. That's what Christ's blood does to your life. So the first S that you need in your life, you need to be saved. So this morning, think about that. I hope that this first S is in your life and that you are saved this morning. The next one is you need to be satisfied. Are you satisfied this morning? John 10:27, 28, and 29 says this, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. My sheep know my voice, and they follow me." I'm glad I can hear the Lord, and He listens to me, and I listen to Him, and we have a relationship back and forth, and that because of that, I'm satisfied. I'm with Him, He's with me, and there's great satisfaction in that right there, that I'm walking with the Lord. Verse 28, He says, "And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." I'm glad nobody can pluck me out of the hand of God. I'm glad when I came down to an old-fashioned altar and I knelt my heart on an altar and I said, "Lord, save me. Make me a new creature in you." I'm glad He saved me that day. He covered me that day. He put a seal upon my life that day that the devil's been trying to peel off ever since. But I'm glad that the devil can't pluck me out of the hand of God. Now, have I made mistakes? You better believe I've made them. Have I fell on my face? I sure have. Have I disappointed people? I sure have. If you watch me long enough, I'll probably disappoint you. And if I watch you long enough, you'll probably disappoint me. That's the way this thing works. We're a disappointment to each other. But I don't want to be a disappointment to Him. Amen. I want to walk with Him. I want to hear from Him. I want to be satisfied in Him. Amen. And I hope you are satisfied this morning. "My Father which give them to me is greater than all, and no man can pluck them." No man can take them out of my hands. Now you can get out in the world and you can find every religion. You can go to every kind of church you want to go to. You can believe any way you want to believe, and there'll be some kind of church, some kind of place that will go along with what you're thinking in your mind. They've got every kind of belief system that they are right now. I'll tell you, I never seen it. I wouldn't even mention from this pulpit some of the things that people believe and confess right now. Some of the gods that they believe. Some kind of churches that they try to set up and call a church house and try to do it in the name of the Lord. It's a rebellion against God, and we need to stand against that kind of thing. We need to stand on the firm Word of God. We need to preach what thus saith the Word of God. You need to get you a good King James Bible. You need to read it. You need to study what thus saith the Word of God. When you get in there, you need to say, "God, show me what is right in my life. Lord, let me realize that I'm saved. Show me that I'm saved. Show me that I can be satisfied in you. God, speak to me." And He'll speak to you through His Word. Right here's where God speaks. I hope that you studied this week. I hope that you've looked at this week, because this is where God speaks, and He'll speak to you through it. So not only do you need to be saved, you can be satisfied. Here comes the hard one. You can be saved and you can be satisfied. And this is most Christians and most church members. We're saved, we're satisfied. Hallelujah, we're satisfied. Our church is growing, people are coming in, people are getting saved, people are getting baptized. You know, we've got us a pastor, we got us some singers, we got a choir, we got a choir leader. You know, we've got a ministry outreach now, and we've got a van, and you know, we've got a big revival going on, and God's moving. Man, I'm satisfied. But you know what happens? Then we sit down. That's the third S. That's the one that gets us in trouble, as we sit down. James 1:14 says, but every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. We're drawn away by that, by our own lust. We're persuaded to be drawn away. This is the devil's way to rob you of your joy. The first thing that happens when you sit down is you'll stop praying. This is the first thing that happens to you. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, the Bible says there is we're to pray without ceasing. Well, how do you do that? How do you go praying all the time? I'll be the first to admit to you that every second of my day I'm not praying. But the Bible tells me to pray with. Am I preaching to myself this morning? I'm telling you this morning, I need to pray and seek God. And I tell you, when I'm walking through the work week and I've got things to do, I may be working on a machine right here and I'm having an awfulest time ever was, and the owner of the company's mad because the machine won't work, and I'm trying to satisfy him and I'm trying to make this thing work, and I'm thinking about all this stuff that I'm going through, and then all of a sudden I just feel like, Lord, if you'll help me, I can get through this. Lord, I can fix this machine. Lord, maybe I can be a witness to this company owner. Lord, maybe these people that's coming in. Lord, help me a bit. And I'm working the whole time. Next thing I know, the machine's fixed, the man's happy, and I'm on my way. See what I'm talking about? You ain't got to get down on your knees and say, oh, God, here I am. You don't have to. It ain't about the position that you're in when you pray, but that you pray from the heart that God will bless your life and God will help you. There's many times I'm driving down the road, I'm praying. I may be praying for you, praying for your family. I'm driving down the road, you know. 70 mile an hour, I'm driving down the road. People passing me just like this. You know, I'm driving 70 mile an hour and they're going just like this. I'm praying, talking to the Lord. I may have a 3-hour trip ahead of me. Gives me a lot of time to pray and to think about the church and what the church needs. So I'm praying. So I'm trying to do what the Bible says. But the first thing the devil tries to get you to do is stop praying. Over in James 5:16, here's what will help you. Confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. You can't be too righteous if you stop praying. Well, I heard a preacher say one time, my righteousness was as filthy rags, and so what's the use? You're taking it the wrong way. We need to approach God on everything. Brother James, I pray about everything. I try to pray for my wife and my daughter daily. Now, when they get sick, my prayer life will increase just like that. I start praying, buddy, praying, praying. Oh, God, touch my wife, touch my daughter, Lord. As soon as they're healed, my prayer life slows down. You ever wonder why sometimes your prayer life increases, all this stuff's going on? God might want to hear from you. Your life might be upside down because you ain't been talking to Him. He says, okay, I will get your attention. I'll just turn things upside down, and that way you will talk to me. God wants a relationship with you. He don't want just a courtship. You know, when courting Ravonda, I don't know if that's they even say that anymore. Do they say that now? When you're courting somebody, I'm starting to tell you how old I am now. Well, when we were courting, you know, I couldn't see her all the time. It was just every now and again we see each other. Are we treating the Lord that way? Are we courting the Lord? Or do you have an intimate relationship with Him? Are you talking to Him on a daily basis? So the first thing that happens is we stop praying. The next thing is we stop reading our Bibles. We stop studying God's Word. In 2 Timothy 2:15, the Bible says, "Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, but rightly dividing the word of truth." Now I'm going to give you the truth this morning. I'm going to tell you what thus saith the word of God, but you need to get your Bible and you need to go home and you need to study and find out if what the preacher told you was right or not. Now your preacher's going to tell you what's right. I'm going to try to stay on track and dot every I and cross every T and do the best that I can, but I'm only a man. I promise you, there's times I get my tongue tied up in my teeth and I'll say things backwards. I remember one time I was preaching on Daniel in the lion's den and I was talking about the old king went over and looked in the pit and went, "David, where are you at?" See, I'm just a man. We can all make mistakes. But the people that was there that day listening to me preach, they know what I meant. They was behind me and we got through it and we did what, and I'll do it here probably. But I keep you on your toes. We need to study the Word of God. Psalms 119, verse 11 says, "Thy Word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against God." We need to study because the devil is constantly digging and wanting to draw your mind away and your heart away from Him. He wants you to be dissatisfied with the church. He wants you to be dissatisfied with the meetings. He wants you to be dissatisfied how everything's going. He wants to get you uncomfortable. He's trying to steal your joy. He's saying, you know, the pastor ain't noticing you enough. Or maybe Brother Dennis ain't noticing you enough. Brother Aaron didn't shake your hand. Sister so-and-so didn't tell you she loved you. That's the way the devil works. He wants you to get focused on all this stuff so he can rob your joy and pull you away from what God wants in your life. So you stop praying and you stop studying. Then the next thing that happens is you don't even witness no more. People come up to you and say, hey, don't you go down there to that church on the valley at Vickers. Don't you go down there? Yeah, I go down there. And you don't even care. Why? Because your life is away from God. You got displacent and complacent from God. And you've allowed the devil to rob you of the very joy that God has put in your life. Do you realize how God is moving in our church? And the devil shows up about this time in the service and he starts getting you distracted. You start thinking about what we're going to eat for lunch. What's this one doing? What's that one doing? I need to check my phone. I wonder if I've got to do this. And the next thing you know, you're not paying attention and you're drawn away and you start getting dissatisfied. You start getting disconnected. And the next thing you know, the church moves right on without you. I'll tell you this morning, I challenge my people and I'm challenging you. We need to step up for God and do all we can for the Lord. And we're going to move right on with you or without you. We're going to go on with the Lord. But I want you in here. I want you to be a part of this thing. I want you to get involved. I want you to pray. I want you to study. I want you to witness and be excited about what God's doing. I don't care if there's 10 people here. If I got 10 people on fire for God, I'll take it all day long. I'd rather have 10 excited for God, wanting to grow in God, wanting the church to move forward, than have 100 dead people. Amen? We need to honor God. So after you stop working, the last thing is stop witnessing, you stop working. In Ephesians 4:16, "From whom the whole body is fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth according to the effectual working of the measure of every part maketh increase of the body into the edifying of itself in love. For the body is not one member, but many. We learn that in Corinthians. It's like Brother John sitting back there. He's working the whole time this service is going on. He's recording the messages. He's making sure the sound is right. He's helping Brother Verby keep the count. He's watching over the church. He's trying to help in every way that he can help. He's busy, busy, busy. But if he just stopped for a second, the devil will start putting things in his mind. He'll get distracted. He'll get more focused on something else, and he'll get distracted of everything that's going on, and he'll start backing up. But I'm glad that he's pushing forward because he wants things to happen. He wants the people to be blessed. He wants everything just right. So he's going to work really hard. He's not going to let up. And that's what we need to do, is be like Brother John and work hard for the Lord. You don't realize how much I got going on in my life, Brother Gary. I'm wore out. I just can't get time to do this. I can't get time. Push stuff out of the way and do all you can for God. Because when it comes down to time of dying, that's all that's going to matter. It's what we've done for the Lord. Talking about these three S's, saved, satisfied, and set down. Remember, think back, I was going to go 5 years. Let's just go a year ago. Let's go back at this time a year ago. You were so busy, you couldn't get it all done. I just got to get it done. I got this to do, that to do. I got to get it done. We got to get here. We got to do this real quick. I only got a certain amount of time, and we got to get it done. What was so important that it had to be done? Can you tell me what it is right now? You can't. So it must not have been too important. But at the time, we think it is. You know, I've already this morning when I got up, I thought about things I have to do this upcoming week. All that I have to do. But you know what? The Lord may call in the morning, and I'll be out of here. And all that I had planned really won't matter. Somebody else will come along and they'll take care of it. What matters is what we do for Christ. Is these three S's in your life? Have you got saved? That's wonderful. Are you satisfied? That's wonderful. But don't sit down. Don't sit down on God. Our church is right at a brink right now. I mean, it's right on the edge right now of busting wide open. God is fixing to take it around the corner to the next level. We've already come up a lot of levels here in 7 months, but we're fixing to turn the corner. God's fixing to do a lot of things, but I got to have your help. We can't sit down now, church. We can't back up now. We got to push forward. We got to reach for each other and pull each other in and love on each other and say, yes, Brother Gary, if somebody won't change the trash, I'll change the trash. If somebody won't mow the yard, I'll mow the yard. Whatever needs to be done, I'll do it. I don't need no recognition. Don't pat me on the back. Let me work for God. Let me do it. That's what you need to do in your life. We all can't be preachers. We all can't be teachers. We all can't be singers. We all can't be in the front. We all can't be the one that everybody looks at. But it takes everybody working together. We can't sit down on God. We got to push forward. God has told them here in Chronicles, He said, if my people is called by my name, would humble themselves and pray and seek my face. Seek my face. And turn from their wicked ways. We have wicked ways in our life. I've got them. I know you got them. We all got them. Ways that don't please God. But if we'll turn from them and trust God, God will take us to the next level, church. We got a lot of folks out this morning, vacations and different things. We got folks sick and stuff, and then that's fine, and we pray for them. But I wonder how many's out this morning that could have been here this morning. They just woke up and said, you know, I just really don't want to go. What if the Lord would have said that day at Calvary, I just really don't feel like it. I really don't want to go through all that. No, really think about that. You say, well, he did it, you know, and it's done. No, let's think about if he decided, I don't want to do it. I know Vickers Chapel needs to exist someday, and there are going to be a lot of folks there, and they need to have a way to get saved, but I really just don't want to do it. I don't want to go through all that suffering. I just want to sit down. I'm tired. Could you imagine where we'd be today? I wouldn't know you and you wouldn't know me. We'd be lost and doomed for a devil's hell. But God has put His hand on us. Church, God has put His hand on us. I don't know if you realize that, but God, the Heavenly Father, knows all about Vickers Chapel. He knows every one of you by name. And He has put His hand upon this church. And the devil, all of hell, is upset of what's going on at Vickers Chapel. He don't like it. And I appreciate all those that have sacrificed this week and went to the revival. And a lot of you have told me you've been watching online, and that's wonderful. And God's doing a great thing at the revival. And if you can go, you ought to go. It'll change your life. You've never been in a service till you see 4,200 people praising God and singing all at one time. I thought, man, this is just a little taste of what heaven's going to be like. Hearing all those voices in unity, loving God and praising God and lifting their hands and worshiping God. It's wonderful. I see a sea of people. I looked over at my wife. I said, look across there. It's like a sea of people. Heaven's going to be wonderful. It's going to be wonderful when we get over there. We won't have to prod nobody. We won't have to push nobody to do anything. People will be excited to worship the Lamb while we've made it home one day after a while. So are you saved and satisfied and set down on God? I wonder this morning if you think about that. I've probably got 10 or 15 people in this church wearing 15 hats apiece. They're doing all these different jobs. You know, and they're texting me and calling me and checking with me and wanting to make sure everything's just right. And man, I appreciate that. I want to tell you I love you for that. I just don't know how to express my love to you for helping me help the church. But so much more can be done. Brother Dennis has pleaded for this meeting this coming evening. For you to come and to be a part of this. It's a great opportunity for you as an individual to teach a class maybe you've never done before. You say, well, I don't know how to teach. I don't know what. Right there, God put a man in that knows what to do. He can help you and instruct you and show you and love you and encourage you to do that. And He'll help you with that. God's give us youth leaders sitting right there. He'll love your children, encourage your children, teach your children, and show them the ways they love the Lord. God's done this over and over in different categories through the church and put all these people in place, and we're moving forward for God, and we don't need to sit down right here at the finish line. We need to lift our hands up and press forward. God's give us good men here, good deacons in the church, and they love the Lord and they love the people, and they're working and they're pressing forward. And I love seeing God at work at Vickers Chapel. But if you only knew how much of hell had come against me this week and tried to bring my spirit down and tell me that it wasn't going to work and how the devil was going to try to destroy. And I stood in his face this week and pointed my finger and rebuked him in the name of Jesus Christ. Why? Because for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. I'm going to stand and fight for what's right, and I'm going to proclaim the Word of God, and I'm going to lift my hands and bless His name. Why? Because He's worthy of it. And I need your hands. I need your hands to hold up my arms. We're down to the river. We're down to the river's edge, and it looks like an ocean that we can't get across. But if I can get some people to get with me and hold up my arms, we'll see God part the river, amen. And God will move in a mighty way. He'll fill this church house up with sinners. They'll come down to an old-fashioned altar and get right with God. And one day after a while, we'll be in heaven with them. And they'll say, it sure was good down there at Vickers Chapel when we could worship and praise God. And here we are for honoring Him. Won't that be wonderful? But the devil would love just to rock you right to sleep. Keep you seat. Don't say nothing. Somebody else will do it. Even you're here this morning. I know there's lost in here this morning. God done told me months ago about you. I've been praying for you and asking God to move in your life. And here's the devil. He's rocking you and saying, everything's okay. Vickers is doing good. The pastor's there now. The church is growing. You can hide in the crowd. They won't see you. You just keep doing what you're doing. It's okay. I'm telling you this morning, the devil can rock, but God sees. God sees every heart in this house this morning. Can I tell you that God loves you? For God so loved the world. He so loved Vickers Chapel that He gave His only begotten Son. That whosoever that would come into Vickers Chapel, I'm paraphrasing, He would speak to them and they could be saved. He loves you this morning. Whether you're young, old, it don't matter who you are, He loves you this morning. And church, listen, He don't want us to get relaxed and sit down on Him. He wants us to be excited and move forward for Him. I love each and every one of you. And I think about you individually and your walk with Christ, and it encourages me as a pastor. And I said, God, I don't know about this message. It's going to be a tough message. And He told me this week, He said, I want you to preach it. And even coming in here, when I sit down here 20 minutes ago, I was like, Lord, are you sure that's what you want me to preach? He said, you preach it. And I've not come to preach you messages to tickle your ears, but I've come to tell you what thus saith the Word of God. Y'all believe this morning this is the Word of God? The infallible Word of God? Y'all really believe that this morning? Can I hear an amen from you? He wants to take this. He wants to change lives for eternity. I don't know about you, but He's changed my life. I'm in a place I never thought I'd be ever again. But I listened to God, and God said, I'll do it if you'll follow me. And here I am. What about you this morning? Are you following the Lord? Maybe you have come this morning and your life's a mess. Here's the answer. Is it that simple? It's that simple. As every head is bowed, every eye closed.